Welcome back to the Proudly White podcast. You're joined here with Lee.
And Sean.
And we've got some transfers at last.
Well, yes. I mean, to be fair, you know, it's been a busy year for Spurs. But we have got one.
And it's a welcome relief, I think, because up until it was coming in, we did look a little bit dry on the January transfer front. But having said that, you know, we've got Lo Celso signed his permanent contract.
Yeah,
we've got rid of a few players as well that some fans will be happier than others.
Yeah,
and you know, we've got some fresh faces in, so the painful rebuild, as we've spoke about before, is well and truly underway.
Well, and yeah, if you look at the age of the players who've come in recently, you know, they're all pretty young, under 23, and lots of our squad now are under 23. So that's kind of the direction we were going in, wasn't it? Get those young players in and build for the next kind of push. So it's looking good. And as you say, Lo Celso signing his, you know, signing permanently is great news. From, you know, the way he's been playing, when he's not been injured, he's started to look really good the last few weeks and really impressing everybody. So that's going to be great news. And obviously we've gone in for a young winger as well, who apparently, you know, we've been scouting for a long time and went in because he was available, not because we particularly needed that role. But as we've seen with Lucas Moura, you know, somebody coming in January when they're not necessarily needed straight away can be really valuable in terms of their development and the impact that they can have in their first full season.
And it's going to be very interesting to see how, with Kane being out injured as well, how the squad will be different now to what it will be like when he's back to full fitness again. Because obviously the players that we've got, where they play in the squad, it will vary, because obviously we need to have someone up front. So I think the dynamic between now and the end of the season is going to be different to next season as well, which is it's good. You know, it's almost like getting Harry Kane back is like getting another signing.
Well, also you've got to remember that the rumours are that Harry Kane is ahead of schedule in terms of his rehabilitation, and he is expecting to be back before the end of the season now.
He's like superhuman, this guy.
Everybody's like, no, that's it, end of season, he might not even make the Euros, and now he'll be back for the end of the season. So, you know, fingers crossed that is the case, and that the team, you know, will step up in his absence. And we've got a lot of young players, a lot of new players who really will hopefully be wanting to do that, and, you know, players like Lucas Moura who want to show that they've got the quality and to show that they can do the things that they've been saying they can. Now's the, you know, perfect opportunity. You know, Sonny doesn't really have anything to prove, but we know that he can play to that standard, and we hope that he will.
And it's also interesting when you think about, obviously, Kane returning earlier than planned. We've obviously been in this situation a few times before. I just wanted to get your thoughts on it, because for me, when I watched him come back, you know, we had him not rushed back for the Champions League final, but you know, he was brought back ahead of schedule for that and just got back to fitness. And, you know, a lot of people said that he maybe wasn't playing his best during that match, and maybe it was rushed. Should we have played him? Shouldn't we have played him? And even before that, when he's had previous injuries, about him coming back earlier and then looking more tired and taking longer to get used to, you know, match day fitness. So where do you stand on that? Do you think that it's worth trying to get him in for the end of the season? Or do you think, you know what, just take the rest of the season, get back to your fitness and completely recover so that we can actually have him more long-term without injuries?
Well, it's a difficult one, isn't it? And a normal summer, you'd say, well, might as well try and get him back for the end of the season, and then he's got the summer off. But obviously he hasn't got the summer off this season if he's back. So it's difficult. It's difficult to tell, isn't it? You don't know where he's at. I mean, I wouldn't want him to come back before he's ready. I think you need to give players the time. But he's got to be the one that's in charge of when he's ready and when he thinks he's ready, and he's got to take responsibility for that as a professional athlete.
Same with Hugo coming back as well. Obviously great to have him back, and I think, you know, he's done the same as well. He's very much, as most players do, dictated when he thinks that he's ready to step in, and from everything I've seen so far, definitely the right time for him to come back as well.
Yeah, we absolutely. Well, you know, and he's come back in, and well, I mean, one of the guys that sits next to me kind of did make a comment of like, Hugo straight back in, and, you know, obviously thinking back to the mistakes he made just before he was out injured. But, you know, when you've got a goalkeeper of that calibre who's had a bit of a break now and hopefully has, you know, had some rest and recuperated, and hopefully will be back to his best. You know, you need that experience, don't you, in the side. And Gazzaniga did a great job, but he's not Hugo Lloris.
No, and it's no stretch of the imagination. Obviously, there's a reason that Hugo's got the number one. But on the other hand, it is good that, you know, Gazzaniga has stepped up. He's not had dreadful performances. He's had some good, solid, you know, matches there, some really good saves. So it's not done him any harm.
No.
He's definitely secured, you know, his place in the squad, for even if it's just cup runs and things like that. But now you can sort of see Gazzaniga as being a player that's not just the cup run until the semi-final and then Hugo steps in. You can see Gazzaniga being through the whole cup run, and he's got that quality to perform in the big matches, you feel now.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen glimpses of it, haven't we? But he's never really had a run in the side before, and he's proven that he can do it over a period of time. But I think that he expected that, you know, Hugo coming back would mean that he was back to the bench, and that's where he expects to be at this point in time. But it's given, you know, Jose a chance to have a look at him and see how he performs week in, week out. And, you know, that's quite important at the moment, you know, when you've got a new manager coming in and assessing the team, looking at who you've got. It's interesting also, isn't it, that when Jose came in, everybody was like, oh, that'll be good news for Danny Rose, because Jose loves Danny Rose. But now Danny's out on loan to Newcastle and looking like his Spurs career is all but over. So, managers can love a player, but if they're not quite playing to the standard that they were when they've, you know, seen them play before, then things change, don't they?
Yeah, and also if they don't fit in with the style of play and the attitude and ethics that you'd expect from one of your squad, you know, you can't have someone in there that's not right for you and for what you need. Yes, you might like them as a player, and even like with Mourinho, when he always used to talk very highly of Eric Dier and things like that. And it's great that the way that he wants us to play and the way that he wants us to progress, he sees Eric Dier, by the looks of it, as being a key part of that. But equally, like you were saying, Danny Rose, maybe the style of play that he does, it doesn't suit his style. And you can't have someone in the squad who's just there because, yes, they're a good player, but if they're not going to play for him the way that he wants them to, then it's not worth having around.
Well, you know, we love Danny Rose in many ways, and he's been a fantastic player for Spurs. But the reality of the situation is that he hasn't been playing his best for a couple of seasons now. He's been struggling with injury, and we need to have consistent... You know, we've got Ben Davies, who is a player who will sit on the bench quite happily and be that, you know, full-back, left-back, as it were. You know, the guy you come to when you need a secondary left-back. What we need now is a left-back who, you know, can be the number one choice and playing really well. And Danny Rose is obviously not happy with that kind of role. So hopefully, you know, he'll go and play really well at Newcastle and have a really good half season, and then he'll find a new home that really suits him. But it was clear he wasn't going to get any game time at Spurs, so it's better that he goes and he gets that.
Yeah, and also Walker Peters has obviously gone out to Southampton as well, so it's going to be good for him to get a lot of consistent Premier League experience there as well. So, you know, there's with the players that are out on loan, which there are quite a few, you know, it's a lot of youth players that are going out, and especially when our squad's quite light. But I think that obviously long-term strategy, you want to get them in Premier League, get the experience out there. So I think when you look at the transfer as a whole, for the whole of January and what we've done, I think most Spurs fans will feel pretty good about it.
Well, and you know, I mean, a lot of people said when Mourinho came in that he's not interested in the youth players and building from the youth team. But I think sending players out on loan shows that, you know, we're looking at those players and saying, can you cut it at the top level? Yes, the players like Danny Rose, maybe Kyle Walker-Peters, we're saying, well, we don't quite think you're right for us, and so we're looking to move you on. But I would still think that if Kyle Walker-Peters had a fantastic half season at Southampton, that Mourinho could well then turn around and say, okay, well, actually, maybe he can. And some of the other youngsters, it's a case of, right, go and play competitive football week in, week out. We'll see how you cope. And we'll see whether you've got what it takes. And that is still about building from the youth. And, you know, despite the changes in management, we're still looking to do that. It's maybe a different tactic than Pochettino took, but it is still looking at that youth and still investing in it. And hopefully we'll have some young players coming through. And we've still got, you know, Tanganga who's staying and Oliver Skip who's staying. So some players, you know, really coming through still with the option to kind of show us what they can do for Spurs. Glory, glory, so last weekend, I was watching the Spurs women, of course, as always, FA Cup first round for the Super League sides. We were at home to Barnsley, and a resounding victory for us, as it should have been, to a team who I think three leagues below us. But Barnsley put up a good fight, but we did come away with the win. After the game, I spoke to goal scorer Rhianna Dean to find out how she'd enjoyed it. So, goal machine Rhianna Dean is now here with me. Great game today, first game of the FA Cup. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm really happy. Obviously, 5-0 is a great result for us. We gave all credit to Barnsley, though. They put on a performance. They didn't make it easy for us, and we found it hard. We always knew it was going to be, but we just had to keep patient and put on a professional performance.
Yeah, because they've been in great form in their own leagues, mm-hmm. and things. So it took a while to get that breakthrough, but once it came, you know, we were away, weren't we?
Yeah, definitely. I think, obviously, if you see their past result, they won 17-0. We knew they had goals in them. We knew it wasn't going to be easy. No team can sort of turn up and win 17-0. So, yeah, that. I thought they was great today, and they gave us a tough battle.
And we turn our attention back to the league now. How do you feel it's going in the league this season?
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, obviously, I think that we're picking up points. We're going around our business well. I think, obviously, we've had some tough results that we've had, but we've also had some really good ones. I think that, obviously, going into Bristol next week, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a challenge, but we're confident, obviously, definitely off the back of a win today.
And after the last game against Bristol, when you know when we turned it around from going 1-0 down, you know it's been a big team for us to play against, and they're desperate for points at the moment, so it's going to be an interesting one.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, as long as we keep our hard work going and we do exactly what we did against Bristol last time, obviously we know that they bring in signings, but we also got Mitch that has joined us as well. I think, but obviously we've got to go into the game knowing that it's going to be tough. They're going to want the 3 points just as much as us, and if we keep going the way we are, and yeah, eventually hopefully we'll get the 3 points.
Great, and we heard your song being brought out again today, despite the fact that Chris wasn't in the crowd. Oh. How do you feel about being one of the players who has their own song already?
No, do you know what? I can't thank, obviously, the supporters and the fans, especially you guys. You guys are brilliant. I think, obviously, when it's not going our way or not going well and we hear that or I hear the song, I'm just so grateful for it, and I really appreciate it. And, yeah, I think you guys are fantastic.
Brilliant. Well, we're hoping you'll live up to that song a lot more throughout
Hopefully,
the season.
Yeah.
Still plenty of time to come. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And that was Rhianna Dean, obviously, and great to hear how she's enjoying hearing her name sung in the crowds, and it is the song that's taking off, actually, I think, is the Rhianna Dean song. We've got a few others, but that's the one that's really taken off. But as well as Rhianna, I spoke to one of the managers, Juan, who we've spoken to before, but I spoke to him about the FA Cup and the season so far. Okay, so FA Cup attention this week, Juan, and a great result for us.
Yeah, fantastic performance from the girls. We are through to the next round. We got 5 goals, a clean sheet, a goal for a girl that has been doing fantastic, like Elisa, and it's just her second game with the first team, and getting on the score, she was great. A couple of goals more for Rhianna Dean, a bit of confidence for the team. I think with no injuries, I think it was a very good day overall for us.
Yeah, and as you say, you know, first goal for Alicia, and her second game obviously starting to come through, really important for her to get on that score sheet.
Yeah, I think that all the girls were so happy for her, because she's a great girl. She's always at training, working extremely hard, always with a smile, and I think when you are the youngest in this group, the whole group like takes care of her, and that's why I think the celebration of that goal was probably even more special than maybe the first goal that we scored today, because it means a little bit more for her. It's always a great moment in your career when you score your first goal with the first team, and we are very, very pleased for her, so all the staff, and I'm sure all the girls as well.
And how important is the FA Cup this season for the club?
Yeah, fantastic. It's a very, very, it's a target for us. Like, we obviously are doing okay in the league, and the other competition that we have is the FA Cup. It's a competition to dream with. You never know, it's only a few games, and we could go and play in Wembley. We already played in some other fantastic stadiums, and for us, getting to the final, but to win the Cup, it will be absolutely unbelievable. It will be a dream, and I think that That's how we are as a club. We always try to push and try to get the most of what we do. That's how we have ended up playing in the WSL from the division, the TF4, where the Barnsley was, and that's what was going to define us. So for us, is you have to have big dreams, and that's what we do.
But you've got to be happy with league position so far from the season. But still a little way to go in the season. Bristol next week. And that, the first leg of that was a big game for us, I think, in our mentality, turning around in, you know, we're going 1-0 down. Mm-hmm. So what are you expecting next week?
Yeah, obviously it's going to be a very tough game. They're going to come here. They're obviously fighting for the relegation at the moment with the bottom position with Liverpool. I think that is a massive game for them, but it's a massive game for us. We always prepare every game as a final, and we want to make sure that we are there, we are prepared, that we can win and keep pushing higher up in the table and get the confirmation that we stay in the WSL, which is looking good at this moment in time, but you can never relax. And hopefully we have another great day here for our fans, because at the end of the day, they come here, whatever it is, sunny or rainy, cloudy. All of the fans have been fantastic this season again today, and hopefully next week they can come here and have a great day, day with the family and with the girls. That's what we always work for.
Brilliant. Well, good luck for next week and the rest of the season. Thanks for talking
to us. Okay, thank you to you. Thank you to you for your work as well. Okay.
So it was great to speak to Rihanna and Juan following that game. The next round of the FA Cup is a Monday night game. We're away at Coventry, which is actually Ash Neville's old club. So I'm hoping after the Bristol City game to have a word with Ash and to find out what we can expect from Coventry. But that's Monday the 17th of February away in Coventry. It's a 7:45 kickoff, I think. 7:45 kickoff. So a difficult one for many of us to get to, but there will be some representatives of the Proud Lily Whites at the game. So if you're that way in the country, do come and join us. We'll be cheering the team on, hopefully getting into the next round of the FA Cup. Quarter-finals will be the next stage, which will be played around the 15th of March.
So are you going to be travelling up there for that one?
I am, yes. I have booked the afternoon and the following morning off work so that I can get there. Monday nights, luckily, are... It was a Monday night, I didn't have anything on, which is quite unusual these days to have
That's
a free
very
evening.
Lucky.
So, and Kath's going to be going as well. So we just got to work out the logistics of getting there. But it was supposed to be the Sunday afternoon. All the other games were on the Sunday afternoon, which would have clashed with the Villa game, of course, for the men. But this one is that it's been moved to the Monday night, which is a bit of a pain getting to Coventry on a Monday night. But nonetheless, there will be some of us there, and I'm looking forward to another FA Cup competition. Of course, the men are going well as well. So that's coming up as well this week, isn't it? We've got Southampton on Wednesday night.
Yeah, we have. It's going to be very interesting again, back to the congestion. But again, it's going to be good, I think. You know, played them a lot recently.
Yep.
But it's very exciting. You know, obviously they've just played Liverpool, and they've played really well against them for the first half, really well. And just a shame for them that they couldn't, you know, convert that pressure they actually put on the runaway leaders into anything more. And, you know, I don't think that the result of the match actually reflects on how they played. You know, 4-0 looks quite harsh on them for that. So, you know, it's not by any means going to be an easy match, or, you know, even a match that we should be really confident coming out of a result with, because they have been playing well, as we've seen.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they're a team in transition, aren't they, very much? But they seem to be, for the most part, playing really well at the moment and getting some good results after that not very good result earlier on in the season, the big one that everybody was talking about. They've then come away and put in some good performances. So I think we need... But then it is a home game, and we should be expecting, really, to be, you know, picking up the win in that game, you know, just from that perspective of a home tie. And, you know, we are Spurs, and we should be pushing on in a cup competition. We know that Jose and several of the players have spoken about the importance of that competition this season, so they need to go out and prove it and show us all how important this is.
It would be really good. I remember when Mourinho first came in, and we did our pod after that, and we were saying what would success look like for him. And, you know, to get a cup in your first season when you've joined mid-season would be a really strong achievement. And
yeah,
if we are going to do that, it is nights like that, you know, one, we need to really go all out with it. We need to see that from across the whole team. And two, that needs to stem from the leader. So it'll be really interesting to, you know, hear his press conference beforehand and, you know, just the general mood and atmosphere towards it. I think that will give a lot away as to how seriously he's taken it.
And then back in the women's football, we've got another huge game next weekend. Sunday, we're away at Arsenal. So another huge game and a busy week then, because we then got Everton at home on the following Wednesday. So lots of games coming up.
And it's North London derby again. You know, didn't play too bad last time when we were at our stadium. So, you know, hopefully, you know, we can play well. I think that's going to be the most important thing, is that we play well. And, you know, we're not expecting to get a result necessarily, but we've seen anything can happen. It's such a cliche, but it is so true.
Yeah, and following that first North London derby at the stadium, actually, I think that's only going to give us confidence, because we did play well and we did look at times like we could score against them.
There were a few times we definitely should have scored against them.
Well, pre-season we'd lost 6-0, and then in that game, yes, it was 2-0, and the women's team have been struggling second half particularly to keep up with those bigger teams. We've been putting in good, solid first half performances, but this is a huge game for all the women, and it's a different feel, because the last London derby obviously was, North London derby was really big, with it being at our stadium and getting the biggest attendance of any Women's Super League game ever. So it's going to be a whole different ball game, but we go with confidence. We go to show them that we're improving all the time, and if we can restrict them to, you know, one or two goals, then that'll be fantastic. If we can get a draw, you know, that's a possibility, and that, you know, the confidence that would give. But I think what we need to be clear on is just showing that constant improvement, and the players are learning from the games all the time. So a big game coming up, and then, I mean, Everton won't be easy the following week either. They've had a fantastic season. Beginning of the season, they were one of the teams tipped as potential relegation candidates, but they have had a fantastic season, doing really well, keeping up quite well with the top teams. And so, you know, two really big games in the coming weeks before we get some slightly, there's no easy games, but games that we should perhaps be more hopeful of winning, including an away game just around the corner from me. I'm very much looking forward to the away game on the 23rd of February, as we travel to Brighton, who are playing in Crawley, the shortest distance I think I will ever have to travel to watch Spurs play.
And I believe that I'm actually going to be moving to that area pretty soon, around that sort of time as well. So I'm very much hope to join you for that one as well.
Excellent.
If the move goes okay.
Fingers crossed for all of those things. But yes, it's quite nice just to be able to think, oh, I can just, it's just half an hour down the road rather than a couple of hours travel. So
definitely. And for those people that can't manage to get to these matches, be it the North London derby or the other matches as well, obviously we've got the FA player that you can download, and you can watch all the matches on your phone as well, which is really handy if, like, the timing for it doesn't quite work for you. You can still watch how the team playing, developing and everything like that from the comfort of your own home or your commute or wherever you happen to be.
Yeah, you might want to mute the commentary some of the time. that some of the commentators are a little annoying. But obviously it's just the one camera thing. But you can watch the game, you can see how it's going, you can get a good sense of how the team are playing. And it's available. I mean, some of the games are available on the red button as well. So our FA Cup game was on the red button, I think. So you can sometimes watch it on the Beeb as well. So there's a lot more coverage going on, which is fantastic, and ways to watch the game, which last season, if you couldn't go to the game, you couldn't see the game. So so that's really good this year.
And also, Sian, obviously, as you're going to be talking to a couple of the players, hopefully, when you're, was it away at Bristol, where you're going to be?
It's home. It's a home game again. Yep, we've done Bristol away. We beat them. We came back from 1-0 down to win 2-1 away at Bristol, which was great. But we're back at the Hive tomorrow, or Sunday the 2nd. So, yes, I'm hoping to speak to Ash again. We've spoken to her before, but obviously with our FA Cup game being at her old club, I want to find out what we can expect from that one.
and hopefully I'll speak to one of the other players as well, see who's available, just to chat to them about how the season's going, maybe one of the new players about how they're finding life at Spurs. I mean, there was an article came out this week talking about how terrible the situation is for some of the players, or for a lot of the players in the Women's Super League, in terms of the facilities that are being provided to them. So we know things aren't perfect, but we also know that a lot of the teams are working towards better situations. So it's a tricky time, but you know, hopefully get to chat to
I was going to say, you touched on that when we went to the West Ham match at in the pre-season, and obviously how you was going into the restrooms and all of a sudden players are coming in there as well. So I do think that's quite an interesting one to hopefully hear from their perspective on that as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's a whole range of things in there. There's, you know, talking about the wages that they're on, and obviously if you compare that to the Premier League, it's nowhere near. But if you compare that to maybe the men's game, where they have similar kind of attendances and things, then maybe it's more similar. And also some of the players are getting accommodation provided by the clubs, but some of that accommodation is apparently less than desirable. But they're also, but the real issues for me are things like the training facilities. You know, Spurs ladies only train at Hotspur Way once a week. The rest of the time they're at the Hive, which isn't really ideal. And you think, when the clubs have got those facilities and it's not going to cost them any more to let the women's team use those facilities, why don't they? The women's team are expected to bring their own lunch, and they had to buy club together to buy a microwave, apparently, because there were no facilities at the Hive for that, and there's no fridge for them to put things in. I mean, the article was talking about them eating, the players eating jam sandwiches, and to me that's, well, if you're an elite athlete, you know you shouldn't be eating a jam sandwich for lunch.
I mean, a jam sandwich is great for me at work on my lunch. Yeah. Absolutely love that. But can't go wrong with a jam sandwich. But yeah, like you're saying, for an elite athlete who's performing at the highest level that they can,
you know that's not right.
Yeah.
And you can do something about that, but there should be better provision. And you know, I think there's a lot to come, and you know, a lot of space for improvement. And hopefully the pressure that is now starting to come through the media and through the fans will help to push that on. And you know, and also if players can see that it's not just their club that's having these problems, then they can work together more collectively and find ways to encourage the clubs to help them. Ultimately, you know, when that, I mean, there's some, you know, in that article as well, it was talking about players who taking a £60,000 a year pay cut. Well, I don't have huge sympathy with that, because everybody makes their choices. If you can earn £60,000 a year doing a job, if that's what you want to do, do that. If you want to play football, then you have to, you know, and lots of us in the world make decisions based on the job we want to do versus the job that's going to pay us more. You know, those decisions are real, and it's only really those elites, those kind of occasional groups like Premier League footballers for whom the dream job brings the dream lifestyle. So it's difficult, and it's going to take us a while to get there, but there are definitely some real concerns there and some real things that clubs can do that, as I say, just don't seem like they're going to actually cost them any real money, but they're not doing them yet.
So that's just about time for us here. Obviously, we have got coming up on Friday, we've got some representatives who are going up for the Football versus Homophobia Awards.
Yeah, sadly, I can't make it, but I know there's a few people going up to celebrate. And in fact, Ledley King will be joining the travelling party to go up to those awards. We're up for a hat-trick of awards, and we've got our fingers crossed, but obviously we're sending luck and good thoughts to everybody who's nominated in each of the categories, but hopefully we can win something. And of course, if you want to go up, tickets I believe are still available at £10 a pop, and there's a raffle on the night which has some pretty good prizes that have been donated, so maybe worth going up and just enjoying that, getting to meet Ledley and mixing with some of the other proud Lilywhites.
Sounds like a great opportunity if it's you know, that sort of thing that you're interested in. So if you are, and maybe you're not sure about, you know, how you're getting there or things like that, you can always get in contact with us and we can see what we can help and maybe give you some ideas or let you know what other members are doing as well. So please do get in touch if you are going to go. We'd love to know how many of us we've got going up there for that. So that would be great. As well as that, obviously, we have got the matches that you can come along to. So, Sean, you're going to be at quite a few of the women's ones, aren't you? Some home and some away.
Oh, yes. So, yep, there's always a couple of us at the women's game. There's four of us at the moment going to the Arsenal away game. There'll be a couple of us at Everton at home, but that is a Wednesday night. And then Brighton away, there'll be a few of us as well. And then next league game at home at the Hive on a weekend will be Sunday the 22nd of March. Birmingham are the visitors on that day.
So if you can come down, it would be great to see you there. Hopefully, Sean, I'll be able to come to a few of these now once all the moving goes well.
Yep, because we saw you at the beginning of the season at the women's game, and we have in the pre-season, you came down to West Ham and enjoyed that one. So, always great to see more people. We're getting the crowds are getting bigger, the songs are getting louder, and the results
The song sheet's getting longer as well, I'd like to add as well.
Oh, yes.
There's a few new ones been added to that as well, which I've been spying on Twitter.
Oh, yes, we've got one for the FA Cup now. We're stealing Ozzy's song, and we're turning it into Jenna's song. And which is good. We're hoping we can convince somebody to get the team in the recording studio to record it.
That'd be fantastic.
With Jenna with the starring Aussie line, of course. Mm-hmm. We're always coming up with new songs to try and increase the noise at the games and just to encourage the team. We know that as Rihanna said, you know, it means a lot to them when they can hear us out there. Supporting them and singing their names. So if you've got any ideas for songs, you know, again, let us know. We'll be happy to, you know, hear them and to spread the best of them.
So we've got some women matches you can come along to, and if you're at the men's matches as well, you can get in contact with us because we'll be having our match day meetups as well. And also on our Twitter, we do the competition every week with guessing the first goal scorer and full-time score. So you can join in with that one as well and get your chance to win one of our exclusive Proudly White pin badges, which are very, very exclusive.
Yep, of course, Wolves, probably the next big one apart from Man City's at home. So 1st of March... they've moved that one to the Sunday, haven't they?
They have for the TV viewings.
But hopefully we will have a match day meet-up on that one. So you can come. Sometimes we meet before the game, sometimes after the game, sometimes both. But if you contact us, we'll put you in the match day meet-up group and you'll be able to find out exactly what's going on.
So hopefully we're recording this before the Man City match. So fingers crossed we're going to get a result on that one. Are you feeling confident, Sean?
Oh, yeah. Well, everybody else has drawn this week. You know, Chelsea and Leicester both drew. Well, they drew with each other, and Man United drew with Wolves. So
we're going to draw, right?
Yeah, usually that's how it goes, isn't it? Last weekend we managed to take advantage, so fingers crossed this weekend, but I think it's going to be a much bigger task against Manchester City. But, of course, I'll be at the women's game, same time, just... in a different place as we take on Bristol City and hope to get 3 points in that one as well. So a big day.
Fingers crossed. Well, hopefully it all goes well and you'll hear from us both soon. So it's bye from Lee.
And it's bye from Sean.
Come on, you Spurs!